Son, none of my apostles were waiting for me. I wonder why that was. It's almost impossible, isn't it? The minds are going to go and the mouths are going to talk. Almost virtually impossible. Some kind of comment. Now Jesus used a phrase similar to that. When he said, because you say, I see. Amen. That's right. God is saying, I see. Jesus, still you see. Now, if you think that your mind is constantly questioning why this, why that. Either more. And that's why I talk to him. Because I go through all the comments you go through. I talk to God like you talk to God. I talk back to God like you talk back to God. I've even told you some of the things I've said to God. And showed you how wicked I had. I talk back to God. For instance, I'll walk around sometimes and I'll start telling God, I wish you would do this. God, please do that. Then I say to myself, who the hell am I to tell God to do anything? Yes, who am I anyway? That I can, there's a thing for him, say, the thing formed doesn't say anything. God said, didn't I form the mouth? Huh? And then he told you about your mouth. Until the remnant of God's people begin to acknowledge what God said about them. I look at some of you folks looking there. Oh, what? Looks coming out of your eye. Way in the back, I can. You mean you can see my face? Yes, sir. I can see it. I didn't delay my coming. It came right on time. Never mind. Don't pay no attention to it. I keep telling you people when Sabbath comes around, I spend the whole night before, the whole day before, saying, what am I going to say? And then I'll say, well, can I go in there and change my decor? Maybe if I use smoother words, or I'll even practice it. I'll lay in my bed now. I'll start laying out a dialogue. Sweet words and kind words. And I say, that ought to pick them up. That ought to. Eight days after his birth, the child was circumcised and named Jesus. Now, right off the bat, named Jesus? And I promise you, even in this house, we still have a question mark in our mind. Is it Yahshua, Yahshua, Yahweh, Yahweh? And I'll even, the first time I ever dealt with that was when I first got on national radio. And I was come against by the Jesus name people. Because they were insisting. And if you were around me at that time, you watched me actually back away from that a bit and start to talk about Yahshua, Jesus. Of course, you don't remember. That's the trouble with you people. You don't remember that you were purged from your past sins. In other words, you don't remember how evil, how wicked, how ungodly you were. That you think you can stand up here and you can judge anybody else on anything because you forgot that you don't have that condemnation on you because you were purged. But you feel like you go around and just condemn somebody else. And, see? You can't see far off. You can't see the end result of this. See, if you could see the end result of this ministry here, if you could just see the end of it. For instance, God.
Hallelujah.
God's not going to beat his bride. Now, where the hell did that ever come from? Well, where does the scripture even identify the fact that God would even beat his bride? I mean, where do we get it from? And then to do that, you got to separate the bride from the body. See, if you people right here this morning, if you would just say, I may not know what he's talking about, but I do believe he knows. And if I'll just listen to him, he'll try his best to make me understand what he is talking about.
Right.
But you know, you're different. All you young ladies and young men, you know, you're different. You've never fully in this place accepted the fact that I have met you before. And what I mean by that is simply the unclean spirit that takes hold of us.
That's right.
He takes hold of all of us. And the unclean spirit has been cast out of every one of you. And then you got so full of yourself, empty, swept, and garnished, he comes back and says, hey, I get back in there. They think so much of themselves, I'll just magnify themselves. Bingo! And I go, and now you're worse. And whether you want to admit it, some of you people are in worse condition now than when you first got saved. Been better you had never even heard. Evil spirits will act worse and worse. In the last state, we're in the last state of the church. Look at it. Read the account of the church. Read it! Hey, church. Hey, church. Thou knowest not? When I get up and say, you don't know, you get mad at me? Because you don't even know that you don't know? Preach the word, brother. That's what I read in the word.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
If you really could know this morning how wretched you are, that you are hanging over the precipice, but really be cast into hell.
Yes.
I wonder what kind of a response would come out of you. Now, see, I start out here, and I stop at the word. See, I remember when I deal with the Jesus name people, and they were so emphatic. Now, you know, it's just common reasoning. because even to this day, some would get on me. Jesus is up. It was put out by the Catholic Church, and it's a pagan name. It's a false god. Just like God didn't know what he was doing. See how your question? You tell me why, if you have any sense at all, that he chose to magnify the last church in the United States of America, where the English language had become predominant. And the way you pronounce Jesus in English is Jesus. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Now go over there to China and tell them, call his name Jesus. They're going to say, Yang Ying, Yong Yong, Yang Yang. Look, see? Well, we are something else. I don't even want to get that. That's just a stupid. When I never get the old black mama. The old little old dude said, Mama, what you doing messing with this blue-eyed devil? And she looked up, she said, Son, you're just too late. Hey, what do you mean, Mama? He said, I don't know what you with blue-eyed, whether you're a white man or black man.
That's
right. She said, all I know is out there in the woods one day, in the cotton patch, when I was, didn't know what I was going to do, right. A little old slave girl, and somebody said, mentioned Jesus to me. And she said, I went up and fell on my face and cried and bawled and said, Lord Jesus. Poor, don't know that, but hey, sweet, I know. If Jesus came to your heart, I wonder what you would do if he just came on expected, just stepped in on you. Mary sat down at his feet. Martha got busy. Jesus said, she chose the good thing.
Yes.
But, you see, you folk didn't choose to set that seat.
No.
You could you don't do like you used to do.
No.
Remember how you used to go to church?
Yeah.
I remember when I first got saved, I would leave my job and go to church. I'd leave my church and go to job.
Right.
I hardly ever go home. My home was sitting at the feet of Jesus. But the saints of God. Service would be over. Time would go past. Jesus didn't leave. I stayed there with him.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Because you loved him so much, Brother Jerry? No. Because he loved me so much. He loved me so much. You see the mess that gets spewed out around here almost every day? What a mess, huh? As God marks our so-called good works and what I've done, what I've been, it's a mess. You're a mess. You're a mess. Boy, he loved you though, doesn't he? He's just basic, but hey, look, I counsel you. Come on. Come on, let's get this thing called real salvation. Let's get this true holiness. Let's go away with this sham and put on it. really what I want to talk about. I got the gist as I came out of it, one of those things. But it's really remarkable, because I do believe with all my heart that I believe in the last 100 years, the most believable prophet that came on the scene, confirmed by God, was William Branham. Now, to hell with you, I don't care whether you believe it or not. You'll be a damn fool to sit out there and act like I didn't tell you the truth because I didn't know him. I said something and I said it right.
Amen.
Amen.
I met a lot of great men, and they were great men, and God used them all. Oral Roberts, you can't, don't take away what God did with Oral Roberts. He established the foundation of divine healing. It's a shame that we don't have very little divine healing today. Well, it's a shame that all those wonderful things that took place in the Philadelphia church age seem null and void today. And when you start talking about the miracles, I read that they were during that time that a man had his fingers broken. His wife was standing looking at his fingers and challenging the preacher and said, "What are you doing?" The preacher said, "Well, God can put fingers back on." And the woman was holding a hand, and I saw the picture of it. And the thing started growing. She passed right out. You folks don't pass out. You say, "Pass me by." I said, I believe Brother Branham was the most, he really was. I only saw him a little bit, but, and you probably have read more about him than I did, but he was a phenomenon. You couldn't explain it. You just had to believe it. That picture that they put out was put in national papers. That picture that they put out with that halo over his head was diagnosed by the finest photographers you could find. Just like when I had Brother Chris over here take a picture where I put water in, and it would come out white. Well, the reason I had him take it home and check it was because he's a chemical engineer. And I've been accused of doctoring up the picture. What's he putting in it? So I, here, my number one supporter, what a risk I took, because I don't believe Chris would lie for me. I don't think Chris was covering me up. Well, get out of here. Now you sit there again like you can't understand that simple statement. Oh, you people are so stubborn, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I'm going to tell you again, if you insist and persist in being that stubborn, you are going to find yourself on the outside of the door when the door is shut. Now, if that doesn't stir you in your heart, then you are long gone. We've lost the fear of God, folks. The truth don't smite us with God's hearing. We hardened our hearts. We stiffened our neck. Anybody want to be brazen enough to stand up and say I'm wrong again? Like you've been doing wrong? That's what you do when you stand up or not. I can tell you're doing it. I can just tell it. I see the heart of young people's hearts. I was awake all night, and every time I woke up, I had one word fly through my mind. There's a lot of words. And God always brings it to me. And you see, that's the reason I can't help you folks. Because you don't believe me when I say that. I mean, if you believe me really from the heart, you'd be anxious to find out what that word was. But you're sitting there, See, nonchalant. I read the Bible. I study myself. And I don't need this fellow to tell me anything. Especially if he uses a word that I already know about. And yet, if you could understand how God could even take in the word, one word, and put some more light to it. Put some more light to it. And then open it up a little bit more. A little bit more. And look, see, look how I look. Here I'm explaining it so clearly as I go from faith to faith. I don't depart from faith, I just go from faith to faith as we're on the road to perfect faith. Wow. 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 Good. Wipe your mouth. Eat. Wipe your mouth again. It's almost impossible for me to start to read any scripture because all I want to stop at a word that's controversial or statement. And the reason I'm doing this is because I read this particular scripture and it did help me out. Remarkable. Now, when I opened it up in the computer program, which is called QuickVerse, I have a whole list of translations. Even Webster translation. How do you like that? Did you know there's a Webster translation? Yeah. Come on, Webster now. Does anybody have any idea what that man went through even to write the dictionary? Have you ever read about how that guy actually wrote Webster's dictionary? I forget how many words are. See, it's so magnitude. You can't. Can you picture a man just dedicating his whole life to sitting down and writing it? Word by word. Man, search for the deepest meaning he could get for every word. And I was surprised to find it. That he actually had a translation of the scriptures. Webster's translated. Now, before I go any further, I'm going to tell you again. I believe, I really do, that the only version of the Bible that is the root version of all the other translations. You don't compare other translations with other translations. You compare with the King James Version. Because that's the one where God preserved by his authorization. Now, you can mark it down. I'm going to get kicked in the cheek. By the way, folks, go ahead and kick me in the cheek. Hey, you dog out there. Call me a liar. Tell me I'm making some more money because you got me $20,000 the other day. Do it again, you devil. Good. Hang me on the cross. And they hung Jesus on the cross. And there's going to be a resurrection again. Good, you fools. I tried to tell that guy. I said, thank you. Some of those calls, I don't even let you hear. But if you could just hear the mindset of these people. One call yesterday, he had so much vulgarity that I just, I said, my God. And then at the end he says, God bless you. Like that little snot nose, he said, enjoy your broadcast, God bless you. Nice talking, I said, you damn liar. He's a liar. There was one ounce of truth in it all. And what kind of reasoning, huh? What kind of reasoning? You don't beat the bride. Then after I even told him about what the scripture said, then somebody else says, what does it say in the Bible he's going to chasten his bride? That he might present it. You see, if you're going to separate the bride from the church, then you don't see where he's chastening the bride. If you're going to separate the bride from the body, because the bride would be nothing without being in the body. Oh, don't you understand when a man goes into a woman, they become one? Well, when God the Spirit goes into you, you become one. And the seed's already in. Come on, folks. This damn nonsense of church, the bride, Israel. I watched it come up again yesterday, still trying to figure out all Israel. I shouldn't have to deal with that around here with you people. I should not have to deal with your stupid minds. I'm really serious. This mindset. What do you mean when you say Israel? Well, all Israel. These are the people who finally come to the place where they say, He is real. He is Lord. And all the people said, He is Lord. He is Lord. He is real. My God is real. Now, I know you don't like my answer, but Israel, is He is real. You can't get the connotation there. You can't come out with the word Israel and know that you're saying He is real. Staggers over it. I don't trouble that at all. He is real. And all He is real shall be saved. All those that believe He is real will be saved. Get all excited. Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Israel. He is real. But it's real. It's real. God, they don't know nothing. At least Saul. What these people, boy, have they deluded themselves. What I want to do with this, though, and then I'm going to try to get down to another word that God gave me. I really was seeking God last night for a word that I could preach to you and to the people out there that would sort of pick you up. But it seems like no matter what word I say, you pick it, you pick at it. You won't let it pick you up. You pick it apart. Just start from nothing. Just start from the I know nothing at all. And then I can just add things to you, and everything I add, just you'll start, the next thing you know, you'll start knowing something. Now, let me say it again. I do believe, and I'm saying it very clearly, I do believe that the King James Version, the one that is written, because I believe God puts all of His strength in what is written. In the beginning, God said, would have meant nothing if it had been written. You wouldn't even know. Because it was written, now we know what it said. And you see me take that on, haven't you? In the beginning, God. And I say, that doesn't mean God's beginning. Doesn't mean that. Because God doesn't have a beginning. He didn't have a daddy. He didn't have a mother, a father, sister, or a brother. He's all of those things. And yet He's everything. Hallelujah. Huh? I used to preach years ago, the sight in your eye, the hearing in your ear, the smell in your nose, the taste in your mouth, the clap in your hands, the step in your feet, the strength in your legs, the breath in your arm, the beat in your heart. He's everything. He's everything. Hallelujah. You know what, brother? He's real.
He is real.
Yes, sir.
Go real.
Oh, how well do I remember how I doubted day by day, for I did not know for certain that my sins were washed away. And the Spirit came and told me how he took away my sin, washed me in his blood, and made me complete in him.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's real. To discount other translations. And the reason I'm telling you that, because when I punched up this story this morning, I punched up the other translation first. I said, oh, that's interesting. Interesting. Anna, a prophet. I don't go along with that. A prophetess. See, Anna, a prophetess, was also there. She was a descendant of Panuel from the tribe of Asher. She was now very old, and her husband had died 7 years after they were married. Now, you see that? She lived with her husband from her virginity was 7 years. Then he died. And she spent the rest of her life in the temple. That clears that up. To me, anyway.
Yeah.
Because I was under the impression that she lived 7 years with her husband as a virgin. That's it. From her virginity.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah!
Now I got a bad picture. She was a virgin when she married him. She lived 7 years from her virginity. Then he died. Nothing more clear? Nothing more clear?
Thank you, Jesus.
So your sisters use that for an excuse.
Jesus.
Although she was a virgin when he married her, and she was a virgin after he married her, because he didn't defile her.
Holy.
A proper relationship. Amen. Never mind. You got so much. You see, your brain is so small, and you got so much in it. Now, the reason why I'm doing this is because the word that I'm looking for is in that story. The word. Let's go to the King James Version. I think I got that too. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. Now, do I have to go back and come up with the significance that God put on calling names in the Bible? Naming something. When the prince over here the other day had a baby, they had to have a big conference with the elite on what to name that little baby. What is this? If you read anything at all about the man having a baby, you'd have seen it. They didn't name the baby right away. It was in the news. They had to confer with the. That little baby is a in the line to be king.
Yes,
he is. So you got to get the right name. But Jesus, he's in the line to be king. So you got to get the right name. The John, he was in the line to become a prophet. You said he had the right name. How simple it would have been if John would have been Elijah, For God just name him Elijah. But see, he was not the Elijah that was to come. He was a forerunner. That's something the Lord told me there about that too. See, there's no way that I'm going to be the Elijah to this generation, only to those that believe it. No matter what, if I got to say I'm Elijah, still with me. Jesus said, if you would have believed it. So he said, Joe, hey, come on now. We know Elijah must come. He said he did. He said, you didn't believe it though. And along today, the same old way. Which man do you think is going to step out of the sea and say, I'm Elijah, and you're going to believe it? Good question. Man, all I do is say I'm the last day prophet of God. And so I said, had no idea what kind of conflict I was going to get with that one. Huh? All God said was on the Almighty God. He never thought anybody would question that. Come on. Hey, look around, look at all the stuff out here. Only a God can do that. Well, that's me. Put Adam out there in that garden, walked around, everything the hell it was. And all of a sudden, here comes this Almighty God. And Adam said, who are you? He said, I'm the one that made you. Well, who are you? I am God. All by myself. Didn't even need your help to make it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Wow, what a mighty God we serve. Well, what? Now, the word here is redemption. I looked it up and said, it wasn't as deep as I was hoping it would be. It just says ransom. The basic meaning is ransom. Yep. You know, hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. You don't know that song either? You just sing it all the time. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can save a poor lost sinner. Set my spirit free. And the last line will be, hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. You know, they take you, kidnap you, and they ask for a ransom. Satan asked for a ransom, did he? You want that soul? You have to pay for it. Now do it. Yes. And though he was rich, he took all them riches and came down here and paid the rent. And now he gives you all of his benefits according to the riches in glory. He gave mercy. He paid truth. He paid grace. He paid a ransom. He ransomed you. But the story is the one that we talk about many times, I have. But, you know, what a unique story. I don't care how you look at that story by that old man Simeon. I don't care how you look at it. That is absolutely, to me, it's astonishing. Now, the one thing about it is that when they questioned this old man what he was doing, I'd like to he might have walked around a cane. Morning! How do they say it? Shalom? Shalom! Shalom, old man. You back again? Yep. Don't you get tired of coming to the temple? No. Why is that? No place else to go. Why? Because I'm looking for something. And this way it's going to show up. I even hate to go home at night and go to bed. I've been thinking about sitting here all the time because I'm not quite sure when he's going to show up. But I know he's going to show up.
Right.
I know he's coming. What are you all doing? Hopping around and digging his garden and all that. Because I know he's coming. I know he's going to show up. Show him. show up here. Yeah. Yeah, you ain't going to show up right here. Show yourself, Lord. Try that one again. I give you a drink of water, you go, ah. So I say, isn't that good? And then you say, yeah. Come and drink, Jesus said. Say, come on, people. The old man was going to the temple because he knew the scriptures.
Amen.
This is the basis of what I'm saying. The old man had read the scriptures, the Old Testament. That's all he had. And Jesus even said to the people of his day, you search it. Well, he was searching.
Right. Yes, sir.
Right. And in those scriptures, he found a proclamation.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Of the coming of the Messiah.
Right.
And somehow he was able to discern the time.
Right. Amen.
Glory.
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 Yes, sir.
Glory.
Thank you.
You got to think about that too. How God prophesied the coming of the Messiah right in the beginning.
Yes.
And then made him wait 4,000 years.
Yes.
Before the Messiah came. Yes. Although he came many times.
Yes.
As a deliverer to his people for the 4,000 years.
Yes,
read it. 7-8 Psalm.
Yes.
Sir. Serving in the wilderness.
Yes.
Cloud.
Yes, sir.
Fire.
Yes.
Water out of a rock.
Yes.
Manna.
Yes.
Part of the Red Sea.
Yes.
Putting them in you, bringing them out.
See.
Oh, it testified to Israel that he was real. Testified to the Egyptians.
Yes.
They found out that, hey, let my people go out into the wilderness. So he let them go. And then he watched them go across the Red Sea and he decided to take them back. He forgot that the God that killed his firstborn was still real. So God did more killing. Now he really killed. He killed him. He killed a big boy himself. Uh-huh. Can you see a Pharaoh right in front of those, all those chariots? Can you see him? Can you go ahead, let's go get him, huh? Can you see the devil out here riding on his chariots? Let's go get him. Come on, devil, right out into the middle of the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Turn around, old Moses, stretch forth your rod. The same rod that parted the water. Hold out, come on, come on, back at them. Hallelujah. Sister, feeling better? Had a little tough week there for a while, huh? I can tell you're feeling better. You know, I can tell? Because I was walking back, you were sitting there praising the Lord in your own quiet way. Boy, would I be glad when you get so loud you can't hear me. Say it loud! I don't believe we have to shout like that. I don't either. I don't believe we have to shout like that. No, I don't. No. I'd like to know why you don't want you. Speaking that well, you know? You don't have to believe on Jesus. I'd like to know why you don't want you. Now that's not the crutch of what I'm trying to get to, but that's the That's a stepping stone. Now, see, the man, what a statement, huh? It's written, it was revealed unto him, the Holy Ghost had not even yet been given. You know when Jesus said to his apostles, he said, he's with you. See, so the Old Testament prophets, they had the Holy Spirit with them.
Yes.
But never had it within them. Poor am I being blessed? They rejoice to see this day. What Christ would be in the prophet. In his church. Not with them, but in them. Reconciling himself to God. Hallelujah. Wow. Woo. Ah. Christ. Before he had seen the Lord Christ. Come on. The man was dying and he knew it. And because he knew the time that was laid out in the scriptures that the Messiah has to show up soon. He just knew it. And so he was worried about dying. Just like me. I worry about dying before Jesus comes. The devil is... I even get mad at myself because I say, God, can I just lay down and die? Can I just do it? But I can't die like that. I just can't. Where would you be if I died? Where are you since Jesus died? You're still not in the church, are you? Only by faith, even though he died. Some of you are still wandering outside of your own little ways. If it was the Word of God, you would have no hope at all. The Word of God would tell you Christ is in you.
Amen.
And then a lot of you folk, you don't manifest it. So the only hope is you live by the faith of the Son of God. The Word of God's written. Know you now, Christ is in you. Why would Paul even say that if they knew it? He knew it though, didn't he? He knew it! For the elect, he said.
Amen.
To the saints, he said.
Amen.
He knows.
The
man of God knew.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. They rebuked him, called him names, laid him low, but he still holding their word. He spoke to them dry bones and said, dry bones? Don't call me a dry bone. Yes, sir, a dry bone. Hallelujah, dry bone. Hey, come on, hear the word of the Lord, dry bone. Boy, that's something. You got some kind of faith to talk to a dry bone. That's enough. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law. Now, we had a lot of discussion over that because I told you that I thought there was a circumcision line. Of course, it wasn't the circumcision. He was circumcised before he got there. But they still had to bring that boy in to be dedicated to God. And the circumcision had to be done when they brought him. So he knew that Messiah was going to show up on the basis of that custom alone.
Amen.
And since he wasn't sure, because they were bringing babies in there every day, young men, boys in there every day to fulfill the custom.
Right.
So he wasn't sure which day.
Right.
But he knew it was close.
Right.
He knew it was close.
Yeah.
So he just stayed in that temple.
Yes.
Yeah, observing.
Yeah.
Oh, how many little boys did he look at? That was The custom was you had to bring the firstborn boy.
Yes.
And dedicate to God.
Amen.
Yes.
Don't challenge me on that. That was the custom.
Yes.
Not the firstborn daughter.
No.
Firstborn son.
Amen. Amen.
And so, how many were coming in? Every day there's somebody coming. We're going to see the firstborn son. His only son. He's going to be dedicated to become king of the earth. And since the time's getting close, I'll be there for crowning day. Oh my. All right. Boy. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Did that say it better for you? You didn't like my way of saying that? You got it now? He was not the only one like that either. So it took some doing to pick this one out.
Amen.
But it revealed him. Can you picture him? All these little whole line of little boys with their mama coming. Telling her the right. Simeon's walking down the line. Look at all these nice little babies and mamas. Isn't it proud as could be? Nice little sons. They're firstborn. How do you be able to pick one out? He's chuckling at me because I said that when he looked at that one, Jesus, he probably winked at
him.
And God winked. Did he wink at you one day? That's me. Why are you so sober? Now, Jesus identified himself. You can mark it down some way or another. If you knew him, he identified himself.
Amen.
Just like he did to Adam. Because that was Jesus, you know. That God that came down in the garden was Jesus. That's the only God you're ever going to see. Is Jesus. He is the only way God expresses his image.
Yes.
So whenever you see God, you're going to, in an image, you're going to be Jesus. Even in the eternity. Because God feels the expanse of eternity in heaven. Come on. But his image is in Christ. The only God you are ever going to see and an image is Jesus. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and well. Oh, I want to see him. Boy, if you ever got that longing in your heart, you would check out your brothers and look real diligent to see Jesus. I need to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. And you pass through barricades, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Those physical barricades. But we see Jesus.
All right.
He came by the Spirit into the temple. And the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let us, thou thy servant, depart in peace. I can't really read this story without getting overwhelmed. Can you picture coming in day after day, walking up down that line? What you looking for, old man? Well, I'm looking for the Messiah. We all know he's supposed to come, but nobody knows. I'm sorry, but I know. You old coop, you. Why don't you go home and die? I will. That must have been something. We don't know how long he did that, but he didn't find him the first day he went there.
No.
He had been sitting home worrying because he'd been reading the book. Boy, it's got to be soon. And I'm dying. I don't mind dying as long as I can see it. Because if I can see the redemption, there'll be a resurrection. Then I don't mind dying then.
Amen.
Read the story. He said, now let thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen the resurrection. The redemption. Now there's the verse. When you see these things begin to come to pass, look up. Lift up your head for your redemption. Blessed assurance.
Amen.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. What an appetite, huh? Appetizer. Makes you long to go to heaven, doesn't it? Oh, I want to see him because he's my appetizer. Just a little glimpse, and now I want to see him on all of his glory. Oh boy. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. This is the old man telling. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people who believe he is real. I wish you would get excited with me when I say Israel. He's just trying to figure out what I'm saying. I'm telling you what I'm saying. Are you ready? He is real. You got it? We all say Israel with me. He is real. We don't mean that. Why? That's what Israel's going to testify. That he is the real Savior. The only God. Hallelujah. And all Israel.
Genesis chapter 33, verse 20. This is by Jacob. And he erected there an altar and called it L-L-O, He is real.
Well, well, well. You know, most of the things you hear me say, I never read those things.
Right.
Watch in the book. Things I've given you. I didn't get it from some other man.
No,
I'm glad when other men show up and confirm it, but most of the stuff that I tell you, I didn't get it from the other man. I didn't confirm it flesh and blood on this last day. They wouldn't have told me nothing. I didn't confirm my own flesh. My own flesh said, nah. Don't confirm flesh and blood. And I lay in my bed. I ain't talking flesh and blood. I talk to the Spirit of God who's alive, who never slumbers nor sleeps. And you know, even if old flesh takes a little nap, when he wakes up, he's still right there. He's right there all the time. get all excited and tell everybody that he is real. I can't even get him excited. Oh, you're getting boring. Boring? You mean you're going to get bored with God? You mean you're going to get bored with His Word? You mean you're going to get tired? No, thank God we're going to get rid of this vile body. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Ain't no grave. Get all this body down. Ain't no grave. Gonna hold this body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, my feet won't stay on the ground. This mortal flesh, and this mortal is going to put on immortality, and this corrupt is going to put on incorruption. How would you be changed? Wow! Redemption! When you see these things. Now, you've heard me talk about that. You've heard me talk about that. Is it too much for you people to say, Brother Stan, you really did do it different than anybody else ever did? For instance, let me just give you one scripture. Huh? Oh, I got two or three about you, but I'll always say, what thing? Huh? Any man love the world and the things? You love this life and the things in it? You don't love God. What thing? Cars? Husbands? Wives? Children? Family? Your own life? You love that? Then you don't love God. And you know why you don't love God? Because you won't receive the love of God. You reject God's love. You love yourself? And you just don't love God. And that ought to put some fear in you. Because it should be saying God don't love you. He hates Esau.
Amen. Right.
Too many of you who like to say you're born again, you came out premature. Now, they didn't like it when I told some of you you weren't saved right. A lot of spiritual abortion goes on. Because the parents don't want them. They were born out of an illegitimate relationship. So we abort them. How close did you come to being aborted? Oh, you shouldn't talk like that. Well, I told you that years ago. I told you. I told you about the big church groups out there. I actually used the word abortion clinics. Oh, Pinker was not in front of those abortion clinics protesting. He was out in front of the stupid. Huh? See, I got in front of the spiritual abortion clinic and I protest. I protest with what went on at PTM. I protest with what goes on with the BBN. I protest. You're aborting. Yeah, put the seed, you put Christ in them. They all preach Christ. And a lot of folk who don't know too much about them, they receive that simple message. And then they hang around that button and they say they're bored. They're bored. Yeah, they do. A lot of times they come out deformed. Sometimes they can't see. So Jesus comes along and he heals the sick. Open up the spiritual eyes. What do you think Jesus was talking about when he said to John the Baptist, the servants, tell the blind see? He wasn't talking about the natural blind.
Amen.
He was talking about spiritually blind seeing. You do it. Because you can hit him harder than I can. Stubborn house. You people should be able to tell the story of me standing in front of that young man. Word for word. Stand up, Owen! This one right here. How long have you been here now? 11 years, just about the time I was falling into that sin and made a confession. And then God sent him here to see that old adulterous preacher, that old sinful prophet. Get up. Get up! What are you doing here? Why are you playing game with God and me? Okay. You want to have your own life? Go get it! You fools!
Right. Oh, yeah.
Pastor Timothy was in on that. Because at that point in time, I didn't want to talk to anybody. But I made a statement here.
Oh,
you remember? What did I say? See, because I was turning people away a lot. And under my own unworthiness, I said, I better not do that anymore. And I've turned people away since that time, haven't I? But I didn't do it when you did. How God had me ready? Oh, no, she don't see. I stood right here and turned people away. Right here. Men just like you.
Yes,
but I didn't turn you away.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Now I wasn't going to go out. He pulled up right at that gate out there with his little old red truck that's still here. Still driving it around.
Yeah.
Hey, you're blind, aren't you? Maybe I can let you see. Maybe I'll open up your understanding.
Okay.
Pastor Lee came to me at the radio room, and he told me the man standing out front with the truck wanted to see you. And I said, well, don't really want to do that, because I didn't feel like it. I was wiped out, boy.
Yes.
God had wiped out all my years of ministry. Took all my bolts and flattened it right out. Shamed me, humiliated me. Timothy, he said, but you told us that you would do that right now. I said, all right. I'll be right there. Who are you people? You are no joy talking to. You really aren't. The Word of God is such a... Well, I don't think that's the Word of God, you know. Why are we hardened? You think you can even take any more risk of talking back to me at all in any category because you think I don't know what's going on? Stop it! Be a fool, but don't be an old fool. Be a fool enough to believe and God's trying to save your miserable soul, your miserable life. I jumped on my little old bike. I was running out to the gate, and he was standing there with a woman. I says, who is that? You're going to leave her alone. when I did, Boy Spirit of God hit that woman. Planted her right on the ground. Pow! I said, look at that. You went back to Charlotte, took her back, right? And you left her alone. The man was in a successful house building business. How old are you now?
61.
So you're 50 years old at that time, about that. And you already had a very successful construction business in one of the most profitable construction cities in America. That time Charlotte was building. Building. And when he finally came here, he actually sold a house that he was building that he could have got and did get. You sold two, didn't you? What did you get for the first one?
100 and 120.
And he probably could have got more if it hung on to him. It was that I was pushing him to get rid of him. And he brought every single dime here.
Yes, sir.
But here's what he said to me. Somehow, out there, wherever he was, God got a hold of him and let him know he wasn't saved and he was going to go to hell. He said, I don't go to hell. And so God said, you go down to South Carolina, you find a prophet. Now, and I would tell you, he didn't live more than 20 or 30 miles away from Pastor Roberts. Right there. See, but by that time, old Pastor Roberts had disassociated with us. Because if he still would have been with me, what do you think I would have done? If he had stayed hold helping me, what do you think I would have done? I said, God bless you, brother. You go there. And see, even Pastor Roberts even played that shenanigan when he found out that I was calling Rick here. He tried to get Rick over because he knew Rick had money. Yeah, I hope you listen to him too. Get mad all you want to. Shrug your old chest all you want to, sir. You betrayer of the cause, denier of the Christ. So brave, brave, because he's the sword of God. I'm the sword. But Jesus was the sword. And he didn't act like that. And Jesus didn't call God the Father a dog. Somebody said, go get you. Come on, I'm ready. Well, what he told me was that God said to him, sell what you have and give to the poor. Well, now, how in the world are we going to do that here? I'm not going to take your money on and feed all these poor people.
No.
I'm not going to do that.
Hallelujah.
I told him, come on back down here, bring his money. God, here we got his money. And then I had to find some way to back up what God told him. Take your money, give it to the poor. And so I said to him, you bring it here, and I'm going to give it to the poor. I'm a preacher. Take your money. And boy, I spend every dime. Don't you talk about going back, because if you go back, you're going to go back totally empty. Because I ain't got it. I never held back on your money one at all. It was that time that we started getting on shortwave radio, raising the price up. And that little $200,000 you brought went just like that. Just like that. Huh? And I put you in the safety deposit box. And I threw the key away. Hallelujah. And you talk about people getting upset when I preach because you think I'm hurting people. Well, he's one of the ones that is hurt a whole lot because he thinks I'm talking about him. He won't do like the rest of you.
No.
He don't come up and look at me and tell you what you're talking about. He'll say, Brother Stair, is that me you're talking about? Please, I want to know if I'm all right. Am I receiving your words right?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. He walks in the fear. Yeah, because you're not talking about me, are you, Pastor? You don't fit. You don't snap your head around. Huh? And I'm not worried about getting poked up either. I walk up to him when he's out there working, he'll just stop here crazy. Once nobody sees. Look, he walks in the fear that one of these days I might turn, but I won't. I will never leave you. We come this far by faith. Leaning on. Are you folk going to realize that you have to have faith to lean on him?
Amen.
And lean on each other?
Amen.
And they got to have faith to lean on you too.
Amen.
But we are sons of God.
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
So take your shield of faith and defend your brother.
Yes.
Hello. Take your sword and defend your brother. Don't take the sword and throw away the shield. How do you like that one? I may take the sword and I'll say, put that faith up there now. Hold it. Faith is the victory. Now there's several things I want to talk about, and I'm going to try to get done here. Time gets away on me so quick. I'll leave that go and go on to what things. I stopped because I want to tell you things. Please listen to me, will you please? I don't care how much you read it or preach it. You don't have preachers tell you the things that he's talking about. They don't do it. You quote that scripture, for instance, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world and the things that are in the world, the love of the Father or God's love for them is not on him. He don't love it. He doesn't love the world anymore. For God so loved the world and they rejected his love, so he doesn't love it anymore.
Amen.
They are Esau. They refuse the love of God.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
They spurn the spirit of grace, mercy, and truth.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
That's wicked.
Yes.
Lord.
Jesus.
I preached this long before you ever came around. Go back in the days where I was coming, they started his name and he claimed it.
Yeah.
And I quote that scripture. The things that's in the world. I say, well, what things? Then the Bible tells you this. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination. Is marriage highly esteemed among men?
Yes, sir.
Is it?
Yes, sir.
And it, come on, and we seek that? We are an abomination to God.
Yes, sir.
Is your car? Having a car? You see it among men?
Yes, sir.
Do they put priority on it?
Yes.
How about a house?
Yes, sir.
How about clothes?
Yes,
sir. How about visiting your grandma?
Yes,
how about going fishing? You heard me talk about that many times. If you're going to go fishing for just for pleasure,
yes, sir.
Because that's what we dumped in America.
Right.
I'm not against fishing.
No.
But we go catch fish for the cause of Christ.
Right.
I mean, you go fishing, you just go for pleasure, you just get one fish, you're happy.
Yeah.
But you can't get one fish and be happy if you're fishing for Christ. And if we do it like that, then we'll have pleasure. Yeah. We'll enjoy the pleasure, God's pleasure. I had the Lord tell me, yeah, they go fishing. And I went. And I came back with fish. And then I found somebody to cook it. And then I had pleasure. I enjoyed doing it as much as I did. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand, doing the right thing, there are pleasures. To do the right thing, there's pleasures. At his right hand, there's pleasure. Pleasure! My God! Good! That's perfect.
Hallelujah.
Don't tell me God don't give us pleasure. Look at them apples. Look at that milk. I don't see it like that. See, we don't have a washing machine like the world. We don't buy it for that reason. We don't buy soap to please you because you like a certain smell. When we do that, we mess up the whole washing machine.
That's right.
A washing machine is to clean the clothes.
Amen.
And some gets clean right, it's got its own smell.
Right.
There's a right smell about a clean smell.
Amen.
All that fabricated junk you put in there to make it smell, you pollute the wash.
Yeah.
All we want a washing machine to do is wash the clothes.
Yes.
We are such fools. They go out a new product and say, boy, we just got to have it now. Shopping. I should tell you, real, shopping is a sin. Yeah. Shopping. You know what shopping is? Well, I got me a little money in my pocket. Don't even know what I want, so I'll go shopping. Let's see if I can find something to spend this money on. Because if I don't spend it real quick, I might have to give it to God, and I don't want to do that. So, yeah. Shopping. Does the world love shopping? Does it? Does the world like to take a vacation trip to go see Mama and Daddy? Did I do that? That's what happened out there in Henrietta. That woman out there, that wicked Jezebel, putting on that little old false face and she was so holy, full of the devil. Why are you saying that? Because I want her to hear me. I hope she tuned me in this morning. Hell, she calls out there, the man of God that loved her, took her in, took care of her. Like some of you, some of the things we've gone through to pick it so you could be here, and you just laugh at it and mock us. Stick your big iniquity out there. Oh boy. Why, all you folk aren't that iniquitous, are you? If you're not being dominated by your iniquity, then why are you looking at me like this?
Hallelujah.
Huh? You submit yourself to God, you can square in his wonderful face. He'll look right at me. He'll look right at me. He might start crying, but he'll look at me.
Hallelujah.
You ain't afraid of my face, are you? And I ain't afraid of yours. So, since we're not going to be afraid of each other's face, let's look right. Lord have mercy. I I thought my loop was like the fuse. It just don't like the way I bring Christianity down to practicality. Just do it. Just do it. Just look right. Change your face. Clap your hands. Lift it up. Just show it. Just do it right. And it will be well with you. Turn your conscience down. Turn your face. Come on, just do it right. Hallelujah. Hey, look, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Wow. Hello. Change your face. Wow, look, there he is.
Jesus.
Now I gotta stop again because people are still waiting around for those things to begin. And we have come far past it. Far. I even told you when they started to begin.
Yes, sir.
Well, your little telephone don't help you out of hell? I said, I even told you when they began. Well, well, well. Isn't that so? Hey, Mr. Jim over there, you know so much. I even told you. Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And so I told you when they began. Got it? You know, I've been pleading with you people that if you're not going to come in here believing, then you stay out of here. Now, if you keep playing with me on that, that the angel don't come, I will put you out. Remember, and they laughed in the scorn, and he put them all out. You see what you're heading for? If you don't stop it, stop mocking me. How in the world can I go ahead and preach this thing? You're not going to remember what I've already preached. But I told you. Remember you're not? You can't sit around here waiting for this thing to begin. They've begun. And they've gone a full generation.
Oh, yeah.
I told you what a generation was. 70 years. First World War? About 1917? Second World War, 1937? Two witnesses now. Look at, look, I can't believe you people are doing that. If I haven't explicitly, clearly, that Jesus said, when you see these things, well, what things? What things? How? You will, that no man deceive you concerning this time.
Amen.
This time of sorrow.
Amen.
When you see it begin.
Yeah.
When you see it, somebody's got to see it begin.
Amen.
Somebody's got to see it. And the reason why you're concerned about the beginning, because anything begins, ends. To say, my God, oh, we don't want to puff you up. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Don't you worry about being puffed up. The knowledge that God has given me, it puffed me up for a while, but now it don't puff me up anymore. To know that truth right there, to know that, ain't no puffing up on that one, because I know the end of it. You know the end of it. And boy, the end of that matter can deflate you real quick. Real quick. Real quick. See, the end of this thing, it's going to take care of your puffing up. It's even going to humble God. The end is, you're going to come on down. Isn't that something? the God of glory that could be will be God without you. He said, I won't be God without you. So he's going to humble himself down. He's going to come down. He's going to humble himself again. He's going to humble himself again. He humbled himself the first time in shame of obedience. He's going to humble himself again and be obedient and come and get the church. Hallelujah. My God. My God. Oh, you talking about humility? You talking about submission? Have you learned Christ like that? Are you still willing to say, Brother Stair, I can sense the humility in you? Or are you too hearty to do it? Right. No, I'm not arrogant. No, I'm not. I'm not even putting on. I really can't. I know. I lived with this guy a long time. And I know when he was arrogant, proud. These tears in my eyes, they're not fake. This groaning in my spirit, it's not a put-on. No, it's genuine. And he groaning in himself came and said, Lazarus, come forth. And I come groaning to this old dead church and say, come on. Hallelujah. Come on. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. Come on. You should preach about yourself now. Three types of Christians. That was the title of my message. When I came forward, there was a type of three types of Christians. First one, resurrected Christian, but he's bound. Hand and foot, and his face is covered over to the neck. That didn't satisfy Jesus, did it?
No.
Step back and said, loose him! Let him go! What do you think old Lazarus did when that thing fell off his face? How those hands got free? He would have shouted and a glorified God. Hallelujah. That's the second Christian. Then the conqueror, third of the conqueror. Huh? Yes, sir. When they said later on, we got to kill Jesus, they said, you're going to kill Jesus, you have to kill Lazarus too. Why? Because even if you kill Jesus, he's going to be a living testimony for the going on in the heavens. It is so, to such a magnitude, rockets, comets, sun moving, stars, falling, sea and waves roaring, on the earth, distress of nations. I guess I ought to preach that more often. I don't preach it enough. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Now, anybody watching where I correlated that? Do you remember where I correlated? Why stand you gazing looking up? See, 2,000 years ago, they are standing looking at a resurrected Christ. My God. Just to visualize that. Listen. There he is. My God. Come on, Lord, materialize here. There he is. They didn't like his message, you know. Because they'd asked him, well, what a clear scripture in reference to time. What a clear, precise revelation of time.
Yes, sir.
Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And right there again, Jesus said, the Father's the only one that knows. The same thing he said before. The same thing he said before. And why this generation is so stubborn that it said nobody knows. You're never going to know nothing unless God knows it first. So whenever you find out what God knows, you know he knows. And whatever you need to know, how many times do I say that to you? I don't know everything. But whatever I need to know, because he already knows, he tells me. And then I told you, oh, my God, then give me wisdom. You know, I had to use wisdom to deal with this guy. Oh, man. I know him. You know, God knows him, too. And that one over there. Woo, I got some wisdom to deal with him. Yes, sir. He may not know the finesse in which I deal with him. See? But the chances are very clear. I'll never leave you. I'm with you always. I'll die for you. Well, wait a minute, Peter. I know something about you, Peter. See, Jesus knew, didn't he? Who gave it to him? Why, the Father. The Father knew Peter. Yeah, I know you. I know. God, tell me what I need to know about you. Don't sit there and mock me when I talk about where your faces are. Because the Father, you see that, son? I'm looking. That's what I'm seeing. Slap your face. You got to see. See, because from the abundance of the heart, your face speaks.
Amen.
Where's your mouth? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when you speak, boy, that face falls in line. See, somebody talk angry, the face gets angry. Talk sad, their face gets sad. They look disappointed, their face gets angry. Oh, sure. It's the mirror of your soul. The show that's in your heart. When a man has a discerning spirit, he sees through the eyes of God. He hears through the ears of God. God hears what you hear, see what you see. After what I know about you and what God knows about you, and I still call you sons of God? I still call you the elect? Huh? Why do I do that? Because he knows. I say, they don't look like it. God says, I know that. I know. And if I know them and I know what they're going to be, he said, Peter said, when you're converted now. He said, man, you're going to deny me, boy. So you're going to deny me before you get converted. He knew something about Peter. Peter didn't know, did he? Peter didn't know how to get converted, did he? But you didn't know how to do it. To the utmost.
Hallelujah.
The things. First of all, Jesus made it very clear that one thing you must be careful of, and that's deceit. That no man deceive you. Now, how would you like to be a man like me, preaching to God's people, and have that scripture thrown in your face? Am I a deceiver? Boy, your word's no good for that. I got to find out from God. Have I been deceived, God?
Yes, sir.
I said I'm going to die at the hands of the Pope. Was I deceived? Am I just doing it for self-glory? I said I'm going to get $10 million. God, I don't even want to think about that anymore because I can't even picture. I don't have the slightest idea. I wouldn't even know where to start. I tried. Have you seen me try? Asking for $1 million? Think if I get started, maybe I'd get them all. Hey, boss. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Did you deceive me, God? Told me you tell me about the last four thunders. And I've been tuning in, looking. Oh, I want to hear. I want to see that light.
Yes,
I want to hear that thunder.
Okay.
And then I'll say, but my God, what a dust art.
Right.
Oh, the slain. I read a commentator the other day talking about the coming wars. He's not even a Christian. He said 6 billion people are going to die. 6 billion. Damn you people, why won't you hear what I said? I said I heard just an ordinary newsman, not a preacher. I stuck my neck out some time ago and told you 6 billion were going to die. Who are you people? You are so stubborn. I mean, you're so wrapped up in your little old think you know something, you know nothing at all. You know how devastating that is?
Yep.
And then you hear a commentator. Just an ordinary man out there who's looking at the world situation. He says, 6 billion are going to die. Then I try to visualize that. 200 million men on it. That's why I got so excited about the River Euphrates story the other day. Can you imagine that? You see, I'm sure you just might pass right you by. That came from Mr. Putin. Mr. Putin was the one of it. He told Mr. Obama, if you guys attack Syria, we have already set up to blow that down.
Yes.
He didn't hear me. Did I say that? I read the words. Mr. Putin told Mr. Obama, if you attack Syria, he said, they've already got our weapons over there. In fact, they did use some cluster bombs to weaken the dam already. And just your ordinary people say it'll be the biggest natural catastrophe that's ever happened in the Middle East.
Yes, sir.
What words? What words? That dam goes down, they dry up the River Euphrates, making the way for the Russians and the Chinese to come on in to stand in their defense. Or cause them to come in.
Right, yes, sir.
You don't pay that price! You carnivorous people! When are you going to get rid of that junk? It always kicks back. When? You want to understand the things of God, and you want to. One person wrote me, they said, Brother Stair, you're not a natural man. You are a spiritual man. Ah, you love that, don't you? Look at him. Look at him squirming. The natural man doesn't understand the things of God. I understand. I understand what time it is.
Yes.
I understand where you're at.
Yes.
I understand where God's at.
Amen.
We're not at the beginning.
No.
Thank God.
Now she heard the end. Now she says, look up. See, the Pentecost, not the session. Why are you looking up? Not the time to look up. You get it?
Amen.
Two witnesses. Somebody said, hey, you men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing, looking up into heaven?
Yes.
This same Jesus shall so, and you fictitious devils out there don't want to tell me that he's not coming back in the bodily form, that he will not be seen. You're damn liars. We're going to see him just in all of his glory, in all of his power, in all of his might. Hallelujah. That we shall see him as he is, and we will be as he is. Yes, sir. God, that it is written. It is written. It is written. Now here at the end, we're going to see two witnesses show up again. And these two witnesses are going to have us gazing, look up into heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're going to get killed. And they're going to be lifted up. We're going to see them go up, and we're going to be looking. And when they get up there, we're going to be right up there with them. Hallelujah. David said, I believe I can run through a troop
yeah.
and leap over a wall.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh, here comes Gino again.
Oh, yeah.
There he goes. All right. When these things begin to come to pass, let me see. God bless you, Brother Sarah. Lord, have mercy. Done some weeping and crying, even squealing with the wisdom to it. Crying out to God, couldn't sleep with the pain. Cried out to God to help me. My jaw up to my ear hurt with stabbing pains. Couldn't find comfort, only through Jesus.
Lord,
have mercy upon me. I pray, only got 2 hours sleep. I come down and this to the tabernacle, just in time for the service. I could hear the saints singing, especially the children, last night. Those that were far off were made nigh. I can't believe you people don't get the drift of that. You just sit there like I didn't tell you nothing. God, have mercy upon you. Even in your dilemma, in your prayers at night, because you sure are struggling in prayer. There is no triumphant prayers going about, even in your singing. And yet, even in that state, you can bless somebody else, somewhere else, who is in much worse condition than you. I couldn't sleep. That was about 2 o'clock in the morning over there in England. Of course, I came down and turned on the tabernacle. And then I heard some groanings and squealings and coming. Well, won't it be nice if you all get excited about that? That you are ministering to the saints? And the children, huh? Children. Well, you know why she's writing about her children? Kind of sad. I don't know my children. They're not the children I used to know. The social service come in and took them away. My daughter Stephanie, her eye is damaged now. She has to wear tennis classes. Now she stays in the room all day. Does hardly anything. My 18-year-old son, Kevin, is in a turmoil. Got some intrusion. Hey, you young people! Keep on playing with me around here. Thinking we're depriving you of something. Go get your damn life. Go ahead. Keep on doing it. Go ahead, fools. Go ahead. my son Kevin. He's all messed up now, and he drugs and stuff. His other brother was playing some rap music, and said, next thing we found out, they're trying to kill himself. 19 years old. 18 year old. Dangerous years. Can't tell your children. Can't talk to them. It's like talk to a brick wall, brother. We told them about hell and the concept of taking your own life. We told them you need Jesus. Only put the tire on a thin piece of wood instead of a beam. The wood broke, thank God. My children are broken. They miss the children. They just shut themselves away in their rooms. You've been doing that late, some of you young folk? Because you can't have your own way, so you go hide in your little room, in your little closet, dreaming about how to wait and get what you want, forming your little plans. Have you seen about the beheading, Brother Steer? You see the little children with their heads cut off? Go and go to sleep, brothers. Sisters, go ahead. So you can't stay awake. Go ahead and go to bed. Sleep on. Well, you see these things. Power outage. See this? You won't. I looked all over this morning. There was nowhere on the news that I could see. I found from the, a site that said before the news. The power outage wreaks havoc in New York City. There appears to have been no plan for this type of catastrophic event. What do you mean, no plan? They don't know what to do. They know these things are coming, and they don't know what to do. So they're building their underground tunnels. I saw that the other day. I saw a picture of the massive, and I'm saying to myself, they are building them? No. This is done. It's all been done since that First World War. They literally got tunnels. I don't know if you folk ever went through tunnels in these mountains, but they got them built, you know. You ever think about that? Do you ever give it any thought at all? When I was a boy, they laid out the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And from east to west, there's at least five tunnels. You go flat right through them. I was always in Chesapeake Bay. See, these are not things they're going to do. These are things they have done. Can you tell me? God, you can start out across the Chesapeake Bay on top of the water, and right out in the middle, all of a sudden it goes right under the water. Right under. And then you come up again, and you go on top of the water, and then you go under the water again. Now what they do that for, so the ships can go over the top. They did it Baltimore twice. These are not things that they are going to do. These tunnels, these underground cities, are not something they're going to do. They are about... The whole city of Denver is an underground city. And from there is every kind of a tunnel going every way from one end of the country to the other end. They drive semi trucks through there hundreds of miles underground. Well, they're not. Well, when you see these things, the king shall hide himself in the dens of the earth. You poor peanut brains. Because you don't want to face reality. Because you don't want to, you think it's going to go away, huh? Sometimes when I watch the way some people make demands for things, I say, my God, don't you see what the Bible's telling you? Why can't you see it? What's wrong with it? He that seeks to save his own life, he's going to lose it. gain a husband, gain a wife, and then lose your soul. And in the process of losing your soul, you'll lose your husband, and you'll lose your wife, and you'll lose your children. The things the world gives, the world takes them away. The things that God gives, God, He takes them away. See, and Satan playing God. He'll give you everything, and then He'll take it away from you. Not me, though. Not me. No, that won't happen to me. That's stupid. That ain't just dumb. That's stupid. And you look around and see what's happened to everybody else. Better folk than you, worse folk than you. You can't see it, how God's trying to destroy man's life here on this earth so they seek eternal life. You can't see that. What a loving God. What a kind God. New York, huh? See, I've been there. I've been in New York when they had a power workshop shut down. I've been stranded one time under the Holland Tunnel, right in the bottom of it. And you couldn't move for hours.
Yeah.
When I got out of there, I said, I'll never go through that tunnel again. I'll drive all the way around.
Yeah.
And I did, brother. I looked at him. No way was I getting down that tunnel. Come get out if you wanted to.
Right.
That's why you people in New York, you keep fooling around, you're not going to get out when you want to, because you won't be able to.
Right.
Won't be able to. It won't let you. Hey, brother, best.
Amen.
You're going to hear me, best? Hey, I don't want you coming here. No, stay up there. I don't deal with you. Oh, son of man, problem with God. More than a problem. He is Lord. He is Lord. And then don't do what He tells you to do. Huh? Huh? Oh, you're the problem. You're the problem. Then you won't obey me? Another baby, huh? Powerless wreaks havoc in New York City. There appears to have been no plan for this type of catastrophic failure. How you gonna do it? There's no way to do it. They built themselves a trap and trapped the over me. You walk down to them subways, you're trapped. I remember many times sitting in a subway at 2 o'clock in the morning because they're fixing the line. And you can't get out and walk out, you know. Like a snare. You know how these folks got you in debt? You can't get out of it, can you? Just can't. How long you been here, brother? How long you been here? So that pregnancy had to come since you got here. I gave you a bed, delayed it, huh? Gave you a bed to lay in it. And you went and made another baby. Now if I say to you, you made your bed to lie in it, now you're going to do that. Ain't got enough money now to take care of the one you got. Come on, man. He made that bed in that little bed, that baby up there we gave it to. Now he turns around, look, isn't that pitiful? Oh, bless your be easy on. Come on, look. Pitiful? Isn't that pitiful? What's the guy gonna do? See? What are you going to do? I don't know at this point in time. This point in time, I just have to do like most of you, stubborn. Why are you being me? Am I? Huh?
No.
You just let the welfare see the way he takes care of them kids. You watch. You watch. You let somebody squeal on him or something. See, I know this thing. I don't hate you, son. But my God, man, when are you people going to take heed? Got a couple more here. Want to go out and make some babies. Then they bring them home to you. And they're so cute, aren't they cute?
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
That little baby, Robert, got that cute? He's starting to like me now.
Yeah.
Mm. Isn't that nice? Every time I look at it, I say, God, what a world. You maybe see it. You see what they say here? There appears to have been no plan for this type of catastrophic failure. Do you people know that that's why we're here?
Right.
We're making plans for a catastrophic upheaval?
Yeah. Amen.
And that's why you don't want to want babies?
Amen.
Or you get entangled in a marriage that you don't have to be entangled in?
Amen.
Or getting in debt to anything?
Right.
I was trying to pick that the other day on the air when I tell people how God told you years ago, get out of the city, get out of church, get out of something. See, he was trying to prepare us for this time.
Yeah.
Now they're there. Look, I still can't get them out of the city. Still can't. Now we suffer the loss of those things, don't we? That we might get the knowledge of knowing Christ.
Yeah,
we choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. See, you're going to suffer out there whether you like it or not. But over here we're suffering with the people of God. And we are people of light, precious faith. Hallelujah. So we'll suffer, and if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. But you got to get beyond this life here, don't you?
Amen.
And now I've just seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Catastrophe, huh? Isn't that so? Boy, that was something, that story. There's really some story there. Outgoing Department of Homeland Security head, Janet, had repeatedly warned of the imminence of a widespread power outage. People don't even know why that woman jumped ship. She told us why. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Or just sitting looking at me? My God, where do you people live? Where do you live? You really think you have any reason to show out around here at all? But knowing what's going on out there in the world, seeing then that all these things, these mirages are falling apart. Children being destroyed, family gone, and you think you got a cause? You wicked, wicked servant?
Yes.
Now, Janet, before she resigned, she said, we're going to see catastrophes here such as we've never seen. She jumped ship. Get out of here! They know that such a... When you see these things, you're not seeing the beginning of them.
Amen.
You're seeing the ending of them.
Amen.
Did I make that point clear?
Yes, sir.
This is the end of the matter. What shall we do? Fear God.
Amen.
This is the end of the matter. You don't have it, saints. You don't have the fear of God. You're too nonchalant. You're so quick to jump on somebody else And you're falling so far short, it's unbelievable. But did you think that God was going to end this thing without having a full spirit of forgiveness in your heart? See, your only hope, brother, is that God will forgive you, and I'll forgive you. If I don't forgive you, you did wrong, brother. You wrong. You mocked God. You mocked me. Huh? And now God's mocking you. Now what are you going to do? But there is forgiveness. See, and that's what my problem is. If I didn't have to forgive them, I'd just kick them out. Get rid of them. But see, I can't do that.
No, that's right.
See, I can't do that. I got to forgive it. God for
Christ. I say forgive you.
You just don't know Christ, do you? How many people have such a hard time forgiving? Look what they did to me. But look what you did to Christ. And look what you did to them. Thank God we don't go to church here.
Amen.
This ain't no church here. This is the house of God. We're preparing to be the church. When it gets done, it's going to be a glorious church. And by the way, that's where he's going to chase the bride.
That's right.
Then he might present to himself a chaste virgin. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He chastens it. He corrects it. He purifies it. You see, now a lot of folk are going to be on that and say, oh, come on now, the blood purifies our soul. Right. But this purification is purification of the flesh and spirit. The soul's already taken care of.
Right.
So this tribulation is not to purify your soul. It's to purify your flesh. Let us cleanse ourselves from all the filth of the flesh. And here's the big one. What filthy spirits you people have. Griping, complaining, judging, doing everything that the Spirit of Christ would not do. That's a filthy spirit. You're doing pretty good with it right now. I told you these are spirits. And you're not going to get me back up on that. You kept me going all these years. Huh? You watch people make charges against me right out in the open. They should have wiped me right out. They thought that little spirit said, oh, we'll do this, we got them. Well, did you get me? See? And you're more deliberate now than I am. Because you did wrong and you know. You don't touch me. See how, see your spirit responding now? See? He said, I. You know, brothers and sisters, you've never seen a man be so open about his own sin and survive. And here, because I've been so honest before God and man, God still uphold me. Are you going to say he's not doing this? Stand up and do it now. Come on, let's get your big mouth going. I joined a bunch out there. Think they got me. How can you get me? I'm God.
Glory.
I don't know where you're going to get me, brother. I'm already gotten.
That's right, brother.
Or be gotten. Come on, come on, come on. Hey, the only begotten. We're begotten. Come on, we're the begotten. Hallelujah. My God. See, all the people come against you because they know you and how you felt. I don't mean that. That don't move you.
No.
I don't let that move you away from God. Let them run their mouth. Let them hear their rage. Let them say anything they want to say. I'm begotten. Judges another. Who are you anyway? Come on, people. Stop playing a hypocrite. Christ lives in you, then let Christ live in you. And there's no better way to exemplify Christ than the spirit of grace and mercy and truth and forgiveness. If every man does not have that spirit, you are none of his. No. I'm standing. I'll tell you right to your face. You show that kind of spirit, you're not of Christ. I won't play with you. You can cuss back at me all you want to. I know what I'm doing. You better stop this business about, I don't like the way he talks to me. Would you like if God didn't talk at all? Sometimes God talks to me and I don't like it, but I'm glad he's talking. He don't always talk nice to me, brother. No, he doesn't.
That's true.
He don't always talk. I can hear him laugh at me. You laughed at me before. Told you I'm going to do that. Aren't you in a calamity? Yeah. I'm going to laugh. Now what are you going to do? Look at the mess you got yourself in, being kind to that fellow over there. Now what are you going to do? Now what did Christ demand out of me?
Yeah, amen.
Huh? Well, that sister out there in Henrietta, well, what are you going to do if she comes back and wants to repent? Well, I don't know. I hope she doesn't. Really, I hope to. Because if she does, then I got to do it, don't I? Pastor, you got to do it.
Huh?
Amen. Judy could have came back. Yes, she could have. Yes, she could have. That's the only reason why I even help some of you people as you go, in the hope that you'll come back.
Hallelujah.
Jesus will probably be back, all right. Brought you back, Sister Sam. Brought you back. That was good. Biscuits get bitter. Cinnamon rolls the other morning. I know, brother and sister, I know as well as anybody else, that the trials of this life we're living in are very heavy, but they are more precious than gold. And when I am trying, 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 I shall come forth as gold. I counsel you, buy of me. Watch me as I go through my trials, as I endure. Just watch me. My trials have helped me break a little bit, because I wasn't easy to be broken. I was a little hard. So God just... I probably would have kicked your butt 10 years ago. I'm going to kick it now, too. I'm going to keep you in the house and you keep on kicking your butt. You know these butts?
Yes, sir.
Got a lot of folks got a lot of butts, don't they? Butt, butt, butt. Butt, butt. Well, I'm going to kick your butt. Okay? How do you like that? How you doing, Daisy? Come forward. Press it on in. That's the verse that came to my heart this morning. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violence takes it. I'm pressing on the upward way.
Every day.
Shall we stand? Lord bless y'all. Jesus coming. Hold the fort for I'm coming, Jesus. Signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By his grace, I will.
Hallelujah.
And you shall begin to see, even before this month is past, you shall begin to see direct and dynamic moves of the Holy Spirit upon the face of the earth to bring this final judgment to an end. I, the Lord thy God, have spoken it.